We're your official station to talk Yankees and Mets. WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Welcome to the New York Giants Draft Preview Special, presented by Moody's. Decode Risk, unlock opportunity. Learn more at Moody's.com. John Schmelk, Mark Melusis, Paul Dottino with you for the next 2 hours, talking New York Giants football and NFL draft. Give us a call, 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019, and we'll talk Giants and draft with you. And gentlemen, we've been through this a lot here with our Giants content over the past month, whether it's Big Blue Kickoff, the Giants Huddle podcast, and draft season. But we had a bit of a twist over the weekend, and we are going to relitigate the Dexter Lawrence trade, because I know you guys have talked about this on the fan a lot. But just really quick, obviously, I think perfect world, everyone would have loved to be able to work it out and have Dexter here and be the best version of himself. But that clearly wasn't in the cards, and it wasn't something that the player wanted. So I think given those circumstances, guys, and you have to be happy with what they got back. We were talking last week on our program, and Field Yates said on his podcast First Draft that he thought maybe a mid-round pick they would get back. So to get the 10th overall pick, it's funny, when I got the notification on Saturday night, and it said the initial move was like the 10th overall pick, right? I'm waiting for, all right, and the Giants send back their third. Or the Giants send back a two next year. You know, something like that.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, nope, nope, nope. And I'm like, all right, given the circumstances, that is a pretty, pretty darn good return.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, and given the fact that you know, your back is paint, your back backs are up against the wall, right? You have a player. Obviously, you had discussions with him about potentially reworking his deal or adding money onto his deal. Those conversations didn't go anywhere, and then it reached a point where obviously it was an impasse. And the Giants had had conversations, as it's been reported, with the Cincinnati Bengals, or the Bengals had called the Giants about Dexter Lawrence, and that 10th pick was sitting out there, and you end up now with having picks 5 and 10, and now you have the problem of replacing the player, right? So you look at Lawrence over the course of 7 years, coming off a down year, and John, I think we were on the airwaves on Big Blue Kickoff Live the next day after the news came out that Dexter Lawrence had requested a trade. And you thought at the time that, you know, it was basically in order to get a new deal. And Lawrence obviously had reached a point where, you know, he wanted to go play someplace else. So now the Giants have the opportunity as an organization with the 10th overall selection to add potentially a foundation piece. And that's the goal here for this organization, where you have control. And now it's a question of where exactly do they go with picks 5 and 10.
Yeah, and there are reports out there that the Giants might be interested in signing DJ Reader once you get past the draft and the compensatory draft pick is over. We'll see if those reports end up being accurate. The Giants have not commented on any of that stuff just yet. That would be a good veteran add. But, Paul, obviously, there was already a need of defensive tackle before this trade.
Yeah.
Now that is elevated. I don't think you're looking at 5 or 10 at that position, just given the nature of the draft class. You're not going to have a player available that's worth that pick. I think that could be a sweet spot. But how do you think this changes the formula now? And why don't we start there in terms of how you're trying to put this draft class together? Because, you know, one pick's not made in a vacuum, right? You're making the pick in aggregate with the rest of that class. So how did your changing and thinking change about how the Giants might approach this draft, given now they have the two picks in the top 10?
Well, I thought about this today, John, and I was on Big Blue Kickoff Live, of course, and there were two things that I came away with as I tried to decipher this whole thing. Number one, if you really believe that you need a stud defensive tackle, now, DJ Reader was in. Joe Shane already confirmed that he was here. He had a visit. He's a good player. He's not a great player, but he's a good, solid defensive tackle.
Good, solid starter.
Yeah, good, solid starter. If you feel like you need a stud prospect to supplement Reader and be in that interior mix, because 37 is the sweet spot, and after that it drops off big time, it says to me now, you have to take a defensive tackle if it's one of the five top guys at 37.
Yeah, you might be able to get a role player with that pick at the top of the fourth round, but you're not going to get somebody that you can kind of plug and play and hope can be a pass-run combo player.
Not a heavy rotational player. Not after 37.
At least not right away.
No. So I think that's the first thing I thought of. The second thing I thought of is that it does not impact me at all on 5 and 10. Because, in my opinion, the Giants have to improve their defense anyway. they need to get the overall defensive package better. And I think they will with the additional players. I mean, what if they get Styles and Downs?
Well, here's my question, though. Does your decision-making at five get impacted knowing that you also have 10? Because, look, you can try to get cute here, right? If there's two or three players that let's say the Giants, I'm not sure this is what they actually have. This is just a scenario that I'm putting out there. Let's say there are three players, right, that they really would like to get, all right? But they want to figure out a way to get two of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Do you try to then figure out which one's more likely to be there at 10, right? So let's say two of the players you want to get are Downs and Maui Noah. I put this as a hypothetical up on Giants.com.
Okay.
Let's say those are two guys that you want.
Right.
You think Downs is the better player, right? But you also think you have a better chance of getting Downs at 10. So do you get cute?
Oh, no.
Take Maui Noah at 5.
Don't get cute.
And then hope you get Downs at 10. I wouldn't do that.
No.
But there are ways to try to play this where you're manipulating it.
But this is where the conversations come into play, and then you have to figure out what's the real information, what's not, where teams might be leaning, where maybe potentially you could move back, or where exactly if there are potential for a player maybe to fall to where then you could potentially get two of those top three guys in the scenario that you're laying out, John.
Yeah, but again, that's dangerous. Because you could eventually not walk away with the guy that you think is the best player.
It depends on if any of those guys is a slam-your-fist-on-the-table guy. If it's a slam-your-fist-on-the-table player, you take the player. Do not get fancy. Do not get cute. Just run the card up and take the guy. If they are no slam-your-fist-on-the-table players, and it's just three guys we have the same grade on, now if you want to do something a little bit funky, go ahead and do it. That's how I feel.
Let's take a look at the Giants' draft needs, brought to you by AWS. You can check out the same data infrastructure that NFL front offices use at NFL.com/IQ, powered by Amazon Quick. Guys, are we still in agreement here? We're looking at major needs, defensive tackle.
Yeah.
In no particular order. Defensive tackle. Offensive line, particularly interior offensive line, wide receiver, cornerback. And I get those are the main four to me. Now, I think you can add a linebacker. I think you're okay, but I think you can add a linebacker if you want. Those, to me, Moose, are the major ones. Is there anything else you would throw in there in terms of needs?
No, I think those are – and if you're able to accomplish addressing all those areas that need this draft, I think you're cooking with gas, as my dad would say growing up. But, yeah, I mean, I think –
you have a better shot at it now that you have picks at 5 and 10.
No, that's for sure. But, I mean, defensive tackle, here's the issue is the greatest area of need you're not going to address with your two top picks because of the Lawrence trade.
You mean stopping the run?
In terms of addressing the defensive tackle position.
Oh, well, that's right. True, but I think you can...
And that is right now, after
fair.
The Lawrence trade, that is your greatest area of need, because whatever you want to say, I mean, Dexter Lawrence, when he is at his peak, is an elite-level interior defensive lineman, but, you know, you're looking at potentially addressing him top half of that second round. You're not going to address that area of need at the top of the draft because there's not a player of that caliber that you're going to be taking at either of those positions. Even if you move back, you're not going to take out, obviously. But, yes, you have corner, wide receiver. You want to look at interior offensive line, specifically that right guard spot, and obviously now defensive tackle. And there was a needed area of defensive tackle even before they made the Lawrence trade.
I think, Moose, hence why I said earlier today, there's a plan B to this whole thing.
Okay.
You don't just make this deal and send Dexter Lawrence away without knowing that you've got a plan B that's going to supplement this. Whether or not it's DJ Reader or it's Shelby Harris or it's Calais Campbell, whoever it is, you now have $13.5 million to spend on this year's salary cap. So there are free agents that you're going to be able to add to this pie to make something happen.
They are Dexter Lawrence, though.
And here's it. Well, and
no, they're not.
Yes.
Well, and here's the other interesting aspect. If you go back to when John Harbaugh addressed the media, I think it was at the owners' meetings out in Arizona, and said that the Lawrence trade request was not surprising. In essence, paraphrasing, right? He kind of got a feel for this a couple weeks back, right? The Giants as an organization have known about this, right? The conversations have been taking place for a while here. So to play to Paul's point, in terms of having a plan B, these are the scenarios that you play out, right? In terms of what potentially would be your options should we go down the avenue, even though it's something that the Giants didn't want to do, and obviously they had conversations up until the point where it reached an impasse. You have those conversations internally as an organization of, okay, worst case scenario, we need to move Dexter Lawrence, then what do we do from that point moving forward? What potentially would be our options in order, maybe not a long-term solution, but a short-term solution position in 2026? And then where exactly would we go potentially if we want to add a defensive tackle in the draft?
Yeah, look, and I think it's time to now look at the Giants down the defensive side of the ball, look at their best players in the draft there, and that's brought to you by Windorama. Save up to 40% during their winter warm-up sale. Visit Windorama.com. So, guys, I think, and I'll get to another scenario in a second, but I think more likely than not, defensive player at 5 and offensive player at 10 is how I would think about it, simply based on the nature of the draft class. And we talked about positional needs, but really in terms of improving an area of the team, John Harbaugh has made it abundantly clear his number one mission this year, Moose, is to improve the run defense. Yeah. That has to get better. Mm-hmm. And even though you might not have a defensive lineman available at number 5 to help the run defense, you could have a player there to help you with the run defense, specifically Sonny Styles. So to me, especially after this trade now, I've been gone back and forth for all you guys that have listened to our stuff, down Styles, whichever, I'd be happy with. But I think at this point, and again, who knows who's going to get there, the Titans could pick him at 4, at least for me, and I think for a lot of people out there, Sonny Styles would be one of the guys certainly you would have on your radar at 5 as somebody that can come in and help with what was one of the biggest weaknesses on this team last year, along with Tremaine Edmonds, who came in free agency.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you in terms of Sonny Styles. Now the question is, and what do you do if he's not there? Yep. What do you do if the 5th overall pick, if Sonny Styles is off the board? And that's not a potential option, right? Do you, and, you know, say Jeremiah Love is there, or say it's Caleb Downs. I mean, or whatever it might be, where exactly do you go then, Paul? Say if you look at a Sonny Styles, the linebacker out of Ohio State, and say, okay, we love him on tape. You look at what he did at the Indianapolis Scouting Combine, nothing not to like. You know, but he's now off the board. Where do you go then?
Well, my pick is Downs ahead of Styles by a fraction.
Okay.
And I've said to John, and we had this conversation just the other day on Big Blue Kickoff, that, you know, he's going the other way, I'm going this way, and it's razor thin for both of us. So whoever winds up coming to the Giants, he's going to be happy, I'm going to be happy, it's going to be happiness all around.
And this is the big save, is usually Paul gets locked in on one guy, and if you don't get the one guy, he's apoplectic. So the fact he's okay with two is actually really good progress psychologically for you, Paul. Congratulations on that.
Well, you know, because both guys actually are really big in run support.
And they're really good football players.
Yes, they are.
And they're smart. And they check all the
buttons. It's not insane. It's unlikely, but it's not insane to think they could get both of them. Well, I don't think so, but it could happen.
No, look, and I realize you're drafting two guys on the same side of the ball, and neither one is a huge position of need.
Yeah.
I mean, you might see me streaking through downtown East Rutherford if they wind up with Sonny Styles at 5 and Caleb Downs at 10.
Oh, my goodness. Would be amazing.
I mean, they're two of the top four players on my board. I mean,
it would be crazy.
Your top player is who?
Jeremiah Love.
Your top player is Jeremiah Love.
He's what the highest, greatest player.
But let me ask you this. Yeah, now you got picks at 5 and 10, right?
I was going to go here next, but go ahead. Lead the way.
Now you got picks at 5 and
10. Pilot the bus, Moose.
And then you are a scenario here where you have your top-rated player on the board. For argument's sake, he gets past Arizona, gets past Tennessee. Jeremiah Love is sitting there, a guy that is a true three-down running back, an offensive weapon. You add him into the mix. Would you potentially turn a blind eye to having the top player on your board who's sitting there with the 5th overall pick and not take him?
This is interesting now because, Moose, I do think, for me especially, the prospect of drafting a Jeremiah Love at 5 becomes much more palatable.
Now that you have pick 10.
Because you have pick 10. And I feel pretty good at pick number 10. Caleb Downs could be sitting there, or Mansoor Delane could be sitting there. And if you're telling me you're walking away with one of those two guys at 10, with Jeremiah Love at 5, I feel pretty good about that. So while it would still not be my choice,
okay,
I would still take Downs or Styles over him at 5. I think in terms of a team-building formula, for me, it becomes more of a logical proposition to just go with the best offensive playmaker at 5, knowing you can really get somebody that's going to help the defense at 10. And Paul looks like he's going to reach across the table and whack me in the head with his microphone.
No, I just I think that if you do that, Styles and Downs will both be gone by 10, and you'll be up a creek.
Because, well, I don't know if there's a guarantee. I mean, well,
I think they're both gone by 10.
What if Delane is there?
He doesn't do anything for your running defense.
All right. I think that's a fair argument.
And that's a crippler because
that's a fair argument.
John Harbaugh has stressed 10,000 times since he got here, rush defense has got to be dramatically improved. It's his top priority. And if you can't get somebody who's going to help the rush defense at 5 or 10, that is bad.
Any right, other? But, yeah, go ahead.
All right, but let me. Okay, but we're, if Love is sitting there at 5, you know, Downs and or Styles are already off the board. Like, and for argument's sake, Sonny Styles say is off the board, mm-hmm. right? So then you're getting to a scenario where your top pick, Caleb Downs, is sitting there, and potentially when you're looking at Jeremiah Love, the top guy on Schmelk's board in terms of the number one player in this draft, and you're seeing more and more rumblings across the National Football League. And I understand it's lying season, right? So you don't necessarily what to believe.
I could totally see the Cardinals taking him, Moose.
No, I could. No. So
you're Tennessee.
Yeah. So, but if Jeremiah Love is there, and you were looking at teams basically go out there and tell you that cleanest player in the draft, best overall prospect. If you're the New York Giants, you pass potentially. And I don't know where he is on the Giants board. That's the most important board. I have no idea where
that's
he's
the only one that matters.
No doubt about it, right? But where, if he potentially is right there at the top, you pass on the top player that you have rated, regardless of position, to go out there and address another area?
Moose, here's the problem. There are so few, quote, impact defensive players.
That's true.
There's Reese, right? There's Bailey. There's Downs. There's Styles. Maybe there's Bain, depending upon how you feel about Bain. Impact on defense, especially in the front seven?
Front seven, yes, because I would include Delane in that conversation if you want to include a corner.
He's not, yeah, I can't do that.
No,
I need
it.
Front seven.
That's fine.
So you're basically, it's either Downs or Styles at 5.
Oh, yes, that's exactly
no
where I
100%.
Am. 100%. That's where I am.
No matter, even with Love on the board.
That's where I am. So you know why? That's a slam your fist on the table thing for me.
Let me ask you this. Let me throw this one at you. Say you draft Love at 5, and you're able to get Downs at 10.
I still wouldn't do it.
You still wouldn't do it?
I'm not a Love guy.
No.
He's not Saquon Barkley.
No, Paul, time out. What if, Boost asked a good question. Styles is gone, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to give you a theoretical world in which I promise you Caleb Downs is there at 10. I'm promising you. I've got my crystal ball out. I've gotten in my time machine. And I'm telling you, none of the teams from 6 to 9 are picking Caleb Downs. He's there at 10. Who would you pick at 5?
If you could put that in cement for me.
No, Paul, I'm telling you. I am Michael J. Fox in the DeLorean. I went to the future. I got the book. I got the draft book. I know that Caleb Downs is not getting picked 1 through 9.
With Biff.
Yes, I did meet up with Biff. Who would you pick at number 5 knowing you're going to get Downs at 10?
It would be harder for me to pass Love, but I'm not a big Jeremiah Love guy.
No, who would you pick? Who would be your pick?
I would think about Mananoa.
Okay.
I would probably, now, is Bailey still there?
In this scenario, assuming, no, Bailey will be gone. It would be Mendoza, Reese, Bailey, Styles would be the four guys that are gone.
Okay. Mananoa would be the guy then for me.
Okay.
Okay.
And I don't have a problem with that, by the way. I think in the end, I would probably do that too,
to be totally honest with you.
You
and I both had this conversation about the old mantra is you can never go wrong with taking a blue chip offensive lineman.
Is there another defensive player that you guys would consider at either 5 or 10? 5 or 10. Assuming Reese is not available. And Bailey's not available. Any other defensive player you guys would consider at 5 or 10?
Not for me.
Besides Delane, Downs, and Styles.
Yeah, not for me.
Would you consider Delane at 10 if you get Styles or Downs at 5?
I'm not as big on Delane as you are. I think he's borderline at that value, but I'm not a real huge fan. And I'm not a Bane guy.
All right, let me throw another one at you. From an offensive perspective, right? Because, John, you mentioned if you go defense, offense, right? Say with that 10th overall pick, mm-hmm. right? Would you address the wide receiver position in Jordan Tyson with the 10th overall selection?
I'm a Tate guy. I'm not a Tyson guy.
What Tate's gone? Tate's off the board. Say Tate gets drafted by Washington if Jeremiah Love's not there or whatever it might be.
I'm loving having a partner to torture you with hypotheticals.
Like,
this is fantastic.
What about
you do understand he does this to me all the time.
And it feels like he's putting really nasty forks into my kidneys every other day when he does this to me.
I love the bus jobs.
Or as Russo used to say, stir the pot. But let me ask you this. 10th overall pick. Right there, you've already drafted Caleb Downs, your guy, 5th overall.
At 5, I've got Downs.
You've got Downs.
So I'm pretty happy right now.
You're sitting there with 10th overall pick.
Yes.
Right? Would you look at Jordan Tyson, the wide receiver out of Arizona State?
Again, assuming Tate is gone.
No, I would not.
You would not.
So I personally would not.
So let's say Tate and Maui Noah are both gone. Because we know those are your two top offensive guys. And you don't like Delane. I'm running out of players for you to draft. You can tell you don't like all these guys.
At that point?
Yeah. Who would you pick at Tate? Because I think that's realistic. There's a good chance that Maui Noah, Tate, Downs, or Styles, whichever one you don't get at five, are all gone by 10. At this point,
I'm going to consider Proctor.
Proctor over Fano.
I'm not a Fano guy. He's not as big. I'm a George Young, Bill Parcells guy who believes in the big boxy guys, the dancing elephants.
Do you get any?
Proctor is a moose.
Do you get worried about guys that are too heavy on the offensive line?
I know that's an issue
because
for him
because they do have they do have a failure rate, and we have been there before.
They do, and Proctor though also has guard flexibility.
Well, Mike, that was my next question. Do you see him as a guard or a tackle?
I'd like to try him at guard first.
I see him as a guard also myself.
Yeah, that's where I'm putting him.
Okay.
You know, and if he, at some point down the road, has to go out and play tackle, that's okay.
So you would grab
Fano is strictly a right tackle, and that doesn't have flexibility
so
for me.
So why Proctor over Iwane?
Because I don't think Iwane could ever go out and play tackle, and if Proctor is needed, I think he could go out there and help us.
Okay, so the position flex.
The flexibility is
good question. Who do you think the better guard?
Iwane.
Yeah.
Ooh, so let's see. That to me is risky.
I think it's close, but I like Iwane. I think Proctor. See, the Proctor thing is a...
So then I think you should just pick Iwane then.
Yeah, I would just
pick... Iwane is a projection.
Proctor is a projection.
No, I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah, correct, yes.
Proctor's the projection, and I know that the projection could take value away from him with some people. But with other people, they're going to say, well, wait a minute. He's got more flexibility to do a swing if you need it. And I love the ability to swing if necessary. That's a big deal for me. But if we go on that, right?
That's value. Okay, if you go defense, offensive line, right? And then you're definitely, definitively drafting a tackle. If one of those guys is there with the 37th overall pick, then you're not addressing wide receiver until third day of the draft.
Correct.
Okay. So you would definitely go offensive line over wide receiver at 10. That wouldn't even be a thought in your head.
You know I do love Tate. But
so if Tate's there, you would go Tate?
I would probably still go offensive line because my roots are all about the trenches.
What if Maui Noah is not there, but Tate is? Would you pick Proctor?
Or Tate.
Iwane or Fano over Tate? I would not. I would pick Tate over those.
I would definitely go Tate over Fano. I would go Tate over Iwane. And I probably would take him over Proctor.
Okay. See, now we figured out what Paul's board looks like. You know, we like that.
Although I will tell you, again, the trenches are always going to be the core of where I'm built, John. You know that. It's hard for me to do that, but I think that highly of Tate.
I think it's interesting when you look at the defensive tackle position, what the Giants are looking at in terms of the overall value, right, with that 37th overall selection potential.
I think
right?
It's a nice sweet spot for it.
It is a good sweet spot. Or mm-hmm. Do you pass on offensive line early and you address offensive line with that 37th overall pick?
Could also be sweet spot
Could
there.
Also be mm-hmm. a sweet spot there, which we, before the Giants had the 10th overall pick, before they moved Dexter Lawrence, that was a position you were thinking about addressing with the 37th overall pick. Listen, it's intriguing. The other aspect of it is, do you move, right? Do you move off picks 5 and 10?
You had to do this to us, right?
No. I don't think people are going to be calling you. I really don't. I don't think you're going to have that option. I think you can move down from 37, though, when you get to day 2.
You're probably right about that. You don't think is there a player? Is there a player you think that's sitting there at 5?
Arvo Reese or Bailey. Those would be the two.
I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree with that. You don't think nobody's calling. I mean, if Sonny Styles is sitting there, you're drafting him.
Yes, and I don't think people will trade up for a middle linebacker.
Jeremiah Love is there.
I don't think
anybody's
moving. No one's
up
going
to
up for him either.
Love.
I don't.
I would agree. The edge rushers. The guy who wants
I think it's Reese or Bailey.
Natural edge rusher.
The question is, if it's Bailey, I'm okay getting out of that. If it's Reese, I don't know if I want to get out of that.
I'm not passing on a chance to take Reese if he falls.
No, I would agree with that. But I don't think I think I
you think Reese is going to the Jets?
I do.
I think that would be the right pick for them, to be honest.
Yeah,
I mean,
Muji came out like 3 weeks ago before he said, well, you know, we've pinpointed the guy we want to take second overall. I think it's Reese, even though it's a projection in terms of what he's going to do in the National Football
League. He has the most talent.
Yeah, I think that's where, and it's a little bit of a gamble, there's no doubt about it, mm-hmm. but I think that's where the Jets are going second overall.
All right, that is a look at some of the best defensive players in the top 10. That was brought to you by Windorama. Save up to 40% during their winter warm-up sale. Visit Windorama.com. BigBlueKickoffLive.com. Let's take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll take your calls at 888-808-1019. You are listening to the Giants Draft Preview Special, brought to you by Moody's, a proud partner of the New York Giants. We'll be right back. All right, we're back to the New York Giants Draft Preview Special presented by Moody's. Schmelk, Melusis, Dottino. Get on the line, folks. Let's talk some NFL draft and Giants football. You want to talk Giants? That's great. You have draft questions that's not Giants related? We'll take those too. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. All right, so we kind of touched on this, guys, when we talked about the pick at 10. So let's go through some of our favorite offensive players we need to look out for. That's brought to you by Miller Lite, a proud partner of the New York Giants. It's Miller time. So, Paul, you talk about some of your guys at 10 that you would talk about. Moose, who would be the offensive players that you would prioritize, assuming you get one of these defensive guys at 5, whether it's Styles or Downs? You already talked about your love for Jeremiah.
Yeah.
But who, if you're getting a defensive guy at 5, what are the offensive players that you would be taking a look at that you would get really excited about at number 10?
Yeah, I think it would be Jordan Tyson, who we talked about in the opening segment.
Injuries don't scare you?
No, well, that's the clearance. I mean, and that's the issue where, you know, you'd have to get the clearance from doctors when you're looking at him. But as in terms of a player, and I don't remember, I mean, there had been a lot of buzz around players coming to the NFL draft, but the love for Jordan Tyson across the National Football League over the last, I would say, 72, 96 hours has been utterly ridiculous, right?
Be the last guy to have a workout.
Yeah. But it is amazing, and I think that would be the guy. The Giants have worked him out, as have every team in the National Football League. I think you're looking to address the wide receiver position. John, you've been all over it. A lot of people this is a wide receiver class that is very, very talented. 18 of the top 100 prospects in this draft class, give or take a guy or two, are at the wide receiver position. You want to address it. It's kind of an area of need, although lessened a little bit based on what you did in free agency. If you're asking me for a player from a skill position point, it would be Jordan Tyson. In terms of the offensive line, I don't disagree with anything we talked about in the opening segment in terms of addressing the right guard spot or drafting a guy that potentially can go out there and play multiple positions, whether it be tackle or guard, but initially throughout his course of his early part of his career can play on the inside, and then you move him outside after you brought back Jermaine Illuminor and gave him a contract as he was a free agent this offseason. So that's where, in terms of offense, that I'd be looking at. But if you're looking at skill position, it would be Tyson.
And a lot of people made a big deal about Joe Shane going out and attending Jordan Tyson's workout. I will just warn people, and Paul, we've seen this before, the Giants go to all the workouts.
Yeah.
Whether they're drafting the guys or not. So people are like, well, there's no way Joe Shane would go there if they weren't going to draft him. I go, no. There would be a way where the Giants went out there and they wouldn't draft him. And if you look at a lot of the reported, 30 visit lists out there, the Giants have looked at a lot of wide receivers.
Yes.
Okay.
And as well they should.
And they should. Exactly right. Guys that can go in the first round. Guys that can go in the second round. Guys that can go later than that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would not put too much stock into the Giants went to his workout. They're definitely going to pick him. I think that's a little bit of a red herring, to be honest with you. I wouldn't take that too seriously. But look, if Tyson didn't have the injuries, Moose, he would be my favorite wide receiver in this class. I would have him over
more
Tate.
More than Tate.
I would. Yes.
Why is that?
He's bigger. Well, they're around the same height, 6'2", but he's around 10, 15 pounds heavier. He's over 200 pounds, Jordan Tyson. I think he's better with the ball in his hands. I think he's more explosive as a run-after-the-catch guy. I think he goes over the middle a little bit more. I just think he's a more dynamic athlete than Tate is. I think Tate is probably a better deep threat than Tyson is. I think he's better down the field. And you could even make the argument he's a better complement to what Malik Nabers is. I think Tyson and Malik Nabers have somewhat repetitive skill sets when you look at the two guys. Now, if you have two Malik Nabers out there, no one's going to complain about that.
No.
So, but I just think I think Tyson's overall skill set and body combined physical wide receiver skills, I'd probably have him, if healthy, a little bit ahead of Tate. But I think Tate's a much safer player just because, look, if I'm the Giants here, guys, here's what I'm thinking. I want to make sure I hit doubles, right? I don't need to swing for the fences here. And if I get a guy that's just a really good player, even if it doesn't turn out to be a gold jacket guy or an 8-time All-Pro and he turns out to be a 3-time Pro Bowler instead, he just turns out to be a really, really good player, I'm okay with that.
Even at 5? Even at 5, you're looking to hit a double?
I'm picking a guy that I feel like has a really high floor. I don't want to pick a guy who's... That's why I'll be worried about picking Maui Noah. Because I'm changing positions.
No, that's fair.
And that, to me, provides a level of risk that I would be unwilling to take at five. And I just want to make sure. And I also think that we're probably not as good at saying who has a higher floor and higher ceiling than we think we are. Where you say, this guy maybe doesn't have much of a higher ceiling. Like, no one thought Amon-Ra St. Brown had a high ceiling when he got picked in the fourth round.
He's short.
He's not fast.
It's true.
Turns out to be like the eighth best wide receiver in football. So I would just pick a guy that the injuries scare me. I think what the Giants are, and you're building a program and you're John Harbaugh, you want to make sure you get really good football players that are going to be on the field. So I would be more apt to select a safer player there. I think the Lemon – so I would pick Tate over Tyson, but I think I can see the argument. I think the Lemon one is interesting because I do think he's more of a slot-only player, guys, while Tyson, I think, can play slot in and out.
I agree with that.
And I do wonder if you can pick a slot-only player at 10. Now, maybe he's more than that. Maybe the Giants see him as more than that. But, man, Lemon is a good player.
Mm-hmm.
Contested catches, run after the catch, explosive with the ball in his hands. A lot to like. Look at his numbers, his yards per route run, those type of metrics. They're all off the charts. They're great. But I'm not sure at 10 I would be okay picking a slot-only player.
I agree with that 100%, John. And as far as the Tate-Tyson thing, Tate's got a little more length, a little more height, a little more length. And I will say this. I wrote down when I was doing my adjectives for these guys, I wrote down that as far as Tate and Tyson, one of the biggest differences for them is that Tyson is not nearly as physical, in my opinion.
I think he's more physical with the ball in his hands.
After catch.
Yes.
But not before the catch.
You think Tate's that much better at contested
catches? I think he is a little bit better. Yes, I do.
Okay, maybe a little bit. I don't think it's screaming, though.
And for me, the injury factor has to be part of the equation, because if you're picking somebody that high, the durability issue, you're talking about a floor and a ceiling? Yeah, well, guess what? If he can't play because he's in the trainer's room, you don't talk about a floor and a ceiling. You talk about just being able to get out there.
And by the way, Paul, just to give you the measurements, Tate at the combine, 6'0", 2'2", so 6 1/4, 6 foot quarter inch, 31 3/4 inch arms. Tyson came in at 1/4, 1/8 inch less tall, so 6'2",
mm-hmm.
and 1/8 inch. But his arms were more than a full inch shorter, just 30 1/4.
Well, so when I say length, that's what I'm talking about.
And I was backing up the claim.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Moose.
Yeah, I understand that. And the Giants historically have been one of the more conservative franchises across the National Football League when you're talking about medicals. I think there's different kind of injuries as well, too. Like, what's preventable, wear and tear, how much tread is left on the tire. Do you think when you do your due diligence and do your work on the player, do you think those issues are not going to be a problem in the National Football League when you look at the player? I can't draft Mekhi Lemon at 10th overall, right? I mean, even though he's a wonderful player and there's a lot to like, and I understand there's a lot of burnout there in Los Angeles when you look at the Rams, there's other teams that are looking at Mekhi Lemon that really like him as a player. I don't know if I can go there and draft him 10th overall. I do. And listen, I'm not a doctor. I'm not pretending to be a doctor. When you look at him, when he's healthy and he's right and he's on the field, there's a lot to like about what Jordan Tyson presents you. And what he can be as a playmaker for this Giants offense. Now, that might be a little bit too big of a gamble, as you were mentioning. I do think, though, John, that if I have picks 5 and 10, and you look at a draft that has arguably, what would you say, 7 blue-chip players? 6?
For me, blue-chip would be closer to 4. But okay. I think if you expand it to, like, the next
group. Is Mendoza one of those 4?
He would make 5.
He would make five. All right, so you have 5, right?
Yeah, it would be Reese, Love, Styles, Downs, Mendoza.
Those okay, so you want to end up, personally. I mean, conceivably speaking, to play, we opened up this, you want to end up with one of those 5 blue chip players.
At
right?
pick number 5, that's
right,
correct.
At pick
yes,
number 5.
Absolutely
and at
right.
pick number 10, I just traded a guy, an all-pro caliber player, right, mm-hmm. in Dexter Lawrence,
sure.
right? I'm sitting there at 10. I'm looking then at that point in time where I want to do a little bit better than a double, right? I want to do, and I'm not telling you that every pick, you don't want to swing and miss, right? You don't want it to be a strikeout. And I understand that maybe sometimes, and there's inherently a little bit of a gamble. Sometimes it's a projection where you're moving a tackle inside to interior, off-ball linebacker, putting him to edge when you're looking at Arvell Reese,
yep.
right? There's a projection when you're looking at it, and a little bit of a gamble. And obviously there's an uptick in play when you're going from college to the National Football League. But with picks 5 and 10, the goal to me for Joe Shane and company, Paul, would be I'm drafting two players that are going to be foundational pieces for my team for the next decade plus.
I mentioned to John the other day on the program that I have two factors that I need solidified for the top 10 in the draft. Number one, I want a guy who is going to absolutely maximize impact.
Okay.
And number two, I want a guy who's going to go through two contracts. So I'm talking about a 9- or 10-year player who's going to be a starter for most of it and could wind up being a all-star caliber player for maybe half of it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think
that's
fair.
What I want.
Yeah.
That's what I want. Can I get that out of Cornell Tate? I think I can.
You don't think you can get out of Tyson? Or it's too big of a gamble for you?
I'm gambling that because of the injury factor, he may not be able to get
back
to me.
If he stays healthy.
But that's...
Okay, I understand that. But if you look at him...
I'm getting back in DeLorean. He stays healthy. I have... Biff told me he's good for 10 years.
But if you look at the player and you say to yourself, medically, he's cleared. Doctors say he's A-okay.
See, right? I'm a Tate guy because the length is a big deal for me. John knows I was huge all over Plexico Burress, all over Amani Toomer. I want my franchise quarterback to have a guy who's got length so that he can get that ball to the box, and that guy's got the catch radius to make the play on the other end of the pass.
Okay, let me ask you
that. Catch radius and that length makes a difference for me.
Do you get concerned with Tate coming out of that offense where he's playing with the best receiver in college football?
Understood. I'm looking at that
Jeremiah Smith takes all the attention from opposing defense.
I'm strictly looking at the toolbox and the physical traits and saying that guy has the traits that I would want in my huddle.
Right. We have some calls. I want to get to them real quick just so people have the facts. Jordan Tyson in 2022, basically his knee blew up. He had three torn ligaments in there. At least that's according to what the public reports are. Mm-hmm. Then he had a broken collarbone in 2024. And this year he battled through hamstring injuries, which obviously lasted throughout the offseason.
Yep.
He didn't participate. He didn't go to the combine, run there, or anything. He went to the combine, didn't run there or anything like that. So that's his injury history. And obviously, it's hard for us to really talk about medical stuff. This is a deal where we do the best we can to talk about these players, but the teams have so much more information than
we do
in terms of the medical. So I think it stinks for fans. But I think you kind of have to trust the teams, right? To look at the stuff, look at the reports, trust their doctors, and figure out whether or not these guys are going to stay healthy or not. And I think that is important.
Well, and that's not only important. And when you come to the NFL draft, when you're coming to college free agents after the draft is done, and obviously when you go through free agency as well, medicals are always key.
Has to be. All right, let's do it, folks. 888-808-1019. Bunch of guys on the line. Let's get to it. Let's go to Dominic in New Rochelle. He will lead us off. Dom, what's going on?
What's up, boys? How are you?
Good.
What's up, Dom?
Giants at 5 have to take Sonny Styles. Unless Arvell Reese falls to them. If he's there, if not, you go with Downs. And another, I think at 10, I wouldn't even look at a receiver. I do like Tate. I do like Tate more than Tyson, but I think this team, if there's a way they can get Downs and Styles, that'd be a home run. But Mansoor Delaney, you can't have Deontay Banks as your other starting corner. I'm sorry to say.
Well, Newsom
Yeah, but Newsom, they didn't really fix their issue in free agency with a cornerback. So all the top teams in the NFL have a corner. I know. So I like Mansoor Delaney. I think he's lengthy. You need one of those cornerbacks. You can't have Deontay Banks and Paulson Adebo out there. But Sonny Styles, if he's there, has to be that pick at 5. Their run defense last year was atrocious, especially the second level of it, especially with Dexter Lawrence being double teamed all the time. Then they need to solidify that inside backer for the next 10 years. And that's who I would go with. 5 and 10, if I had to do an offensive player, I would probably go with an offensive lineman. I don't think there's any Malik Nabor type prospects as receivers this year. And like Moose just said, Cornell Tate would be my favorite prospect as a receiver, but with Jeremiah Smith on that Ohio State team, which I don't know how they didn't win the national championship. They have about the whole team is about first and second rounders.
They
couldn't
score.
I don't know.
They
couldn't score. I just don't get it. But they have an interesting defensive tackle, McDonald.
Yep, that could be 37.
I love him too, but I don't know if he's gonna last to that 37th pick. So
he might not. Don, appreciate the call, man. Good stuff. Would you guys be okay with Delaney at 10 if he had Styles or Downs at 5? I'd be fine with it.
I'd be fine.
I could understand it.
But you wouldn't be fine.
I'm not as high on him as some other people are.
What's your issue with him?
I wrote down he does not wrap up very well. I wrote down I wasn't happy with his length. And I also wrote down that sometimes he's too eager to make a play and gets caught out of position.
So he makes too many plays for you, is basically what you're saying.
It is what it is.
I will note, though, nothing in there about his actual coverage ability really scared you. Like, guy's not beating him.
No.
Which
no.
for a corner is
he
pretty
can,
important.
He can mirror.
Yes.
That is true.
That is true.
That is true.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Jake in Cedar Grove. Jake, what's happening?
What's up, fellas?
What's up, Jake?
What's up, Jake?
I'm calling because I'm a big Bama fan. I'm going there in the fall. I'm a senior in high school right now.
Ah, congratulations.
I'm going out there.
Roll
Thank
tie.
You. I am big on Keaton Proctor. I think if we're going to take
too.
An O-lineman, I think if we're going to take an O-lineman, I think we should take Keaton Proctor. He's like, he's got the size, he's got the athleticism. I think he could be a big part. But I don't want him at tackle. I think we should put him at guard.
I'm with you. I also see him as more of a guard. And look,
I think he could be an all-pro type player at guard over time. Let him develop there, maybe later in his career, moving to tackle, but for now, guard.
Hey, look, Jake, if and this goes to Moose's point previously, and appreciate the call. If you're looking to hit the Grand Slam, and you really want to get the gold jacket guy that is potentially be a gold jacket guy, that's the guy you draft at 10. Because his physical gifts at his size are ridiculous.
They are off the charts. There's no question about it. And then you're addressing something that, something that's been chatted about here on Big Blue Kickoff Live time and time again in terms of the offensive line, right? And if you can't win up front, you can't go out there and win, right? So the offensive line, when the Giants were winning Super Bowls in 2007, 2011, they were really, really good. It became too big of a talking point for all those years, whether it be free agency, the draft, all the guys that were brought in. And ultimately, Paul, it didn't work. And now you're coming off a year in which, you know, as long as Thomas is healthy at left tackle, you've got Illuminor back, you've got your center, you've got obviously Runyon back, you've got a gaping hole in one of those guard spots, and potentially to plug Proctor in there as a plug-and-play guy, you move him in, plays to Dottino, talking about being a Parcells guy, size, he's got size, there's no doubt, and he's a plug-and-play guy, and he's an answer at guard.
And Paul, just real quick, just so people understand what a freak this guy is, at 352 pounds at the combine, he had the 6th best vertical leap, tied for 5th actually, at 32 and a half inches. That's nutso.
Oh yeah, in every way, shape, and form. The problem here that we don't know is how do the Giants feel about the potential hold the fourth guys that they have on
great
the depth
point.
Chart right now?
Yeah.
That's a great question.
If they think, for example, that Filele, who just came up from Baltimore and played for John Harbaugh, if they think that, you know, he's a 1 or 2 year answer.
Someone that's actually bigger than Caden Proctor.
He is. he really is.
Know, but that's the $1 million question.
You know?
Paul, you hit upon it.
Yeah,
that's
you're
the
right.
question in terms of the guy. Do they feel the guy, the four that they have, potentially, 3-4 guys competing for that position, that they're going to be able to find a solution internally to where they don't have to spend the 10th overall pick on a guard?
And you know what's interesting? Now, you'll remember when Evan Neal came out, he was universally thought of as a top 5 player in the draft.
Sure,
in fact, at one point, he was even rated higher than
that. We were at the combine that year. A lot of people thought he might be the first overall pick.
They loved him, John. Now, it didn't work out, at least early in Neal's career for the Giants. But John Harbaugh has said on multiple occasions in the last 2 months, he has said, look, I remember when this guy came out and we scouted him at Baltimore and we loved him. And this guy had a lot going for him. Hey, if he's going to turn it around, I want him to turn around here. Turn it around here, not for somebody else. What if Evan Neal does turn out to be the guy
Another
that he was supposed to be?
Very large man, by the way.
He is.
A very large man. And, you know, look, I'm not saying that I'd put, you know, my mortgage on it.
Well, like, look,
but what if he turns out to be pretty darn good?
This is why they threw numbers at the problem, though, right? They have so many guys, whether it's Falele, Evan Neal, Josh Azudu. They've thrown so many guys out there that had to compete for the spot. You hope one of them can figure out a way to break
through. Right, and the point being is that if you feel like internally we've got enough to where we do not have to spend the capital of the 10th overall selection now addressing that area because we're confident that we're going to be able to find the solution internally, then you don't spend that pick on a guy like Proctor.
And, and that's why I kind of edged a little bit to Tate when you said Tate or Proctor. That's kind of what was kind of...
Yeah,
it was
fair.
In my mind a little bit.
And by the way, me being a little more risk-averse, that's why I would pick Ioane over Proctor. Because I feel really good that he's going to be a starting guard for a long time.
Absolutely.
I feel really good about that.
He will be.
The Fano Ioane thing is what gives me a little bit of a biz. Fano's, the way he moves and his feet, they're like elite as an offensive lineman. That gets me excited. What I'm going to do with him in year one, I'm not positive.
But you like the player.
I love the player. I love the player. But, man, because he is an athlete, he is going to be a really good player. Like, I could see him being the Giants' starting center in 2028, depending on what happens with, you know, John Michael Schmitz and his contract. It's up after this year. So, I think Fano's athleticism and his feet are great. But, again, you're converting him. So, I like Fano better than Proctor, which is why the Fano Ioane thing is kind of interesting to me. But that, to me, is where I would struggle with which one of those two guys to go with.
This is why so many people have told us in the last several months it's a flavors draft, right?
It is a flavors draft.
I'm a Maulers guy. I want the big box car and the Mauler on my line. You're more interested in the technique
the problem,
and the athleticism.
Paul,
I understand that.
I've seen too many Maulers fail because they don't have good balance. They fall down a lot.
I understand.
And they struggle with it.
It can happen.
It can be a
There's
combination
no question
of both.
About it.
I mean,
go back to your boy Kenyon Green. Perfect example.
Yeah.
On your board, seven tackles, right? Because there's going to be a run. Like, you look early on in this draft. I mean, Kansas City is going to want to address the offensive line. I mean, there are seven tackles potentially here that, you know, potentially could be early first-round draft choices, right?
Yes.
Whether you keep them at tackle or whether you move them inside.
Yeah, I'd say the seven guys that could theoretically, I don't think all seven will, but they could go in the first round. Fano, Maui Noah, Proctor, Freeling, Miller, Iannachor, and Lomu. Those would be the seven that could go in the first round, yeah. And depending if you see Proctor as a guard or a tackle, obviously you might adjust in terms of how you would list those guys. But yeah, I think you could see a huge run starting around like pick 15.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see a lot of tackles.
Sure.
And that could be a position if teams get a little antsy.
And want to move, yeah.
Maybe not move up to 10, but if you're picking between like 17 and 22.
Yeah. And you want to move up to go get the guy that you love.
Because you don't want that tackle to go. But look, that's a premium. And when I talk about trying to hit a grand slam moose, it's trying to get a great player at a premium position, right? So while Styles, I think, is going to be a great inside linebacker and could be a gold jacket guy, to me, that's still hitting a double. Because you're picking a really good player at a non-premium position.
No, I get it.
You know what I mean?
No, I wasn't. It was a case of where you want to draft foundational pieces, right? You want to minimize as much risk. That's why, you know, Paul was talking about the fact he doesn't want to gamble on a guy like Jordan Tyson based on the injuries, whether it be the knee, whether it be the collarbone, whether it be the hamstring this past year. And I get all that. I think if you're the Giants, though, where now all of a sudden you have two picks in the top 10, right? You own 20%. Of the top 10 of the draft, right? So, you know, the world is your oyster, right? So you have an opportunity now to draft two players, and you've done a ton of homework that are going to be long-term solutions for this organization, even if it's not an area of position of need. John Harbaugh's talked about it before. Competition is king, right? And your goal is to draft two big-time players, and I think the Giants are going to have the opportunity to do that. Whether they stay at 5-10, whether they manipulate it, whether they try and add a second-day pick to recoup some of the assets that they gave up to move back into the first round a year ago to go get Jackson Dart.
We will try to continue to take your calls in hour number two, so hang with us at 888-808-1019. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Tony Pauline from Essentially Sports will join us, talk about the latest intel he has gotten in terms of what might happen in front of the Giants at both pick number 5 and pick number 10 in the 2026 NFL Draft. We'll be back with that and more on the Giants Draft Preview Special. Welcome back to Hour 2 of the New York Giants Draft Preview Special, presented by Moody's. Decode risk, unlock opportunity. Learn more at Moody's.com. John Schmelk, Mark Melusis, Paul Dottino with you, taking your phone calls at 888-808-1019. But right now, we're going to bring in my co-host of the Draft Season Podcast, which you can find on all your favorite Giant platforms, the Giants app, Giants.com, the Giants YouTube channel. We talk draft every week from August all the way up until the draft in April. So it's Tony Pauline from Essentially Sports. Tony, good to talk to you, my friend. How are you, bud?
About 12 hours earlier than usual every week, John, huh?
Yes. Tony and I will be recording our final draft season of this draft. We will have a couple after the draft is concluded, of course. Tomorrow around 11 o'clock. That'll air on Wednesday. And Tony and I will be doing a joint mock draft where we kind of try to make the picks together. So there'll be a lot of debate and yelling at each other as we
Who
go through that.
Who gets final say? Rock, paper, scissors.
I believe I'm the one here in person, so I will get final say. Sorry, Tony. Now, honestly, Tony has so many sources. If he has someone that says, like, I really think they're picking this thing, I will happily cede my knowledge to Tony's intel. So, Tony, I'm going to start here really, really simply. From what you're hearing, Who are going to be the first four picks in the NFL draft before the Giants pick at number five?
Obviously, Fernando Mendoza. All signs point to the Jets, or people I've talked to anyway, the Jets are going to take David Bailey from Texas Tech with the second choice. The Arizona Cardinals would love to trade out if they can't get David Bailey and let the Kansas City Chiefs move up. But if they can't trade out and there's no and David Bailey's not there, it looks like they're going to take Jeremiah Love.
They wouldn't take Arvell Reese, Tony? They wouldn't take Arvell Reese there, huh?
They would not. And the reason given to me is they've tried these hybrid players before, sort of the linebacker, pass rusher types. And
Xavier Collins,
you know, we've
right?
gone back yeah. and forth on this. We've gone back and forth on this on this show, and people talk about Arvell Reese being a pass rusher. I think he's an edge rusher. I think he's a pass rusher. A linebacker, off-ball linebacker who can rush the passer. I don't think he's a pure edge rusher. It looks like Jeremiah Love, although I hear Francisco Mendoza, is moving back into that conversation at three.
Wait, who? You said
Mendoza?
Fernando Mendoza, what?
Francisco Moyaga is moving back.
I got you. Okay.
Big difference.
I got you.
And then number four is interesting because some people think it's going to be Arvell Reese, but they say, you know what, Robert Saleh, truth, and it's true, when he was with the Jets, he had great success with those fast, explosive, you know, get from point A to point B linebackers like Sonny Styles. So Sonny Styles is also in the conversation of four.
Tony, where back to the Jets at two, because that's where the draft starts. Why Bailey over Reese?
Because the Jets need, they feel he's going to have more impact in year one. And that's what Aaron Glenn needs. They need guys on the field who are going to make plays. I would go with Arvell Reese. But the belief is he's a better fit for the system in the sense that he's a stand-up linebacker in your 3-4, stand-up over tackle. And he's just a much better pass rusher than Arvell Reese is, at least right now.
So, Tony, in the picture you just painted, Arvell Reese is still sitting there for the Giants at five. My question for you, what kind of phone calls do you think would be coming into the Giants war room if he's there at five? What teams might be on the phone trying to trade up to get Reese?
Dallas Cowboys, no doubt about it. Would the Giants trade with an inter-division rival? I don't know. Dallas Cowboys made that trade with the Eagles a couple years ago.
Yep.
But, the Cowboys want either Sonny Styles or Arvell Reese. Whether he's there at five, whether he's there at six for the Cleveland Browns, that is the one team to watch. I don't know that the Kansas City Chiefs are sold that Arvell Reese is the edge rusher that they want. I mean, they could probe it, but without a doubt, the Dallas Cowboys, who have two picks in the first round, would be working the phones to try and trade up to get either Arvell Reese or Sonny Styles if one of them is available. They'll do it at six if somehow the Titans take Arvell Reese and the Giants pass on Sonny Styles and take Caleb Downs. Cowboys will work the phones hard to move up to the Cleveland Browns selection to draft Sonny Styles.
Now, Tony, I don't know how much of this is coming just because the guy is from Texas Tech, but when we spoke with the Texas Tech play-by-play man last week on Big Blue Kickoff Live, he lives in Dallas, and he said there is a tremendous amount of heat that the Cowboys are going to trade up to get David Bailey.
Now, keep in mind, Lubbock, Texas is like 6 hours away from Dallas.
I understand, but he lives in Dallas and does play-by-play for Texas Tech.
Of course.
And he was convinced that the Cowboys were trading up to go get Bailey. That doesn't jive with what you're talking about, so I wonder, have you heard Bailey at all to the Cowboys?
I have not, and it's probably because he's out of their reach. I mean, for them to move up from the 12th selection to the 3rd selection, or to the 2nd selection, make another trade with the Jets. Now remember, they gave their first-round pick to the Jets in 2027 for Quinnen Williams. I mean, that's just going to be incredibly costly. And to be honest with you, you know, even though you say there's a lot of heat, when you watch David Bailey play, he's a terrific pass rusher standing over tackle. His film, when he comes out of a three-point stance, is significantly different and significantly less impactful. So I think with the Jets, with the running the 3-4 and having him stand up over tackle most of the time, it is a much better position for David Bailey than having him come out of a three-point stance.
Tony, I want to ask you about Jeremiah Love, the running back out of Notre Dame. Where's the ceiling, potentially, of where he gets drafted? Where's the floor?
Good question.
3-7. I think that the Cardinals, and we've talked about this, John, and I thought all along he'd be a great pick for the Cardinals. I think that they could take him at 3 if David Bailey's not there. I do not see him getting past the Commanders at 7. Because if Jeremiah Love is available at 7, that means that Sonny Styles is off the board. That means that somebody, a team like the Titans, talk about the Giants, you know, a team that was expected to take Jeremiah Love took him, which is the team that was supposed to take Sonny Styles took him, which is why Jeremiah Love would be available to the Washington Commanders.
Our Tony Pauline interview is brought to you by Windorama. Save up to 40% during their winter warm-up sale. Visit Windorama.com. So, Tony, we haven't talked about this much with the Giants since the trade only happened a couple of days ago. I haven't had this conversation with you, and we're going to do this on our mock draft on draft season tomorrow. But what do you think we're looking at with picks now 6 through 9? Because now the Giants have to anticipate who's going to be there at pick 10. So how do you anticipate those teams from 6 through 9 approaching their draft selections?
The Browns would really like to trade down a few slots. I'm told that they are open to trading to the Dallas selection at number 12. If we say for hypothetical circumstances they can't make the trade, it'll be either a receiver or Spencer Freneau, because Andrew Berry wants a tackle. They'll have to make that decision. I just said the Commanders with Jeremiah Love. The New Orleans Saints, probably going to be Monsieur Delaine with no one else available there. And then the Chiefs could be Francis Maliyoga if he's there. Could be a corner. Could also be a guy like Reuben Bain because they want a pass rusher.
So, just did I not hear Caleb Downs included in that conversation?
Or I didn't hear his name at all.
Did not.
Interesting.
I mean, the Saints could take him if they pass up on Monsieur Delaine. The Chiefs could go Maliyoga, pass rusher Reuben Bain could also go a cornerback like Monsieur Delaine. I think that's, and we've talked about this before, that's the thing about this draft. You kind of know who the first 10 players in the draft are, but you don't know which order they're going to be selected, unlike last year.
Tony, as far as Jordan Tyson's concerned, and I've obviously got issues with his injury history, how many people around the league share that phobia, so to speak, and how many of them do you believe really think he's the number one receiver in this draft?
Since his workout on Friday, it seems about a 50-50 split. Half the teams I spoke with are concerned about the injuries, the fact that he barely saw the field in 2025. Yeah, that injury history goes back to the prior year when he couldn't play in the Arizona State playoff game. Not too many people have him graded as the number one receiver. They think that Carnell Tate has been steadier. He's been more consistent. He's not as much a big play guy. I guess the real issue with Tate versus Tyson is Tyson was basically the only weapon that they had out there at Arizona State. Where with Carnell Tate, I mean, he was consistently the number two or the number three receiver at Ohio State. He was never really the true number one. So that's something that they are deciphering through.
And Tony, the other thing we were having a debate here about, if you don't go wide receiver at 10 for the Giants, you might consider an offensive lineman there.
Yeah.
We were talking about either Caden Proctor, or are you converting him to guard and picking him there? Do you just pick the guy you know is a good guard in Ioane and go there? If Maui Noah's off the board, what do you think about moving Spencer Fano inside for a year before potentially, moving him back outside to tackle, or maybe center at some point? Who knows? How do you think NFL teams are looking at kind of that group of offensive linemen in terms of where they might fall and maybe potentially the fit for the Giants, who they don't really need a tackle right now, but they do need a guard, maybe be with some position flex down the road?
I think most of these teams that I've spoken with, they like Spencer Fano at tackle. They like Caden Proctor at tackle. If it's a situation where they can't handle the tackle duties, then they kick him out to kick him inside the guard. Most of them will try him at tackle first and then move him into guard if they can't handle the responsibilities. Ione is a guard. He's not going to move from the guard spot. The question with Ione is, can he play right guard or is he strictly a left guard?
Tony, I want to ask you, where do you break down the first round? I'm not talking about, in terms of positions. I'm talking about caliber of player. when you're ranking the players? Is there 5, 6 on one level, then there's 15 or 20? Like, where do you break down in terms of the overall quality of the first round of the draft?
Yeah, it's an uninspired class overall. I mean, I have 12 players that have solid first-round grades. So there's only, on my board, there's only 12 true first-rounders. There are another 18 guys, 19 guys that are hybrid first, second-round guys, prospects, not true first-rounders, fit in that first, second-round area. And then really the second-round prospects start at number 32 with me. So overall, it's not very strong at the top. And really, when you're drafting in the middle of round one, in most ordinary years, these guys would be second-round choices.
Tony, just quickly, if you could run through the guys that are 12 first-round picks on your list, who are those 12?
Arvell Reese of Ohio State, Jeremiah Love of Notre Dame, Caleb Downs of Ohio State, David Bailey, Texas Tech, Sonny Styles, Ohio State, Mansoor Delane of LSU, Fernando Mendoza, Indiana, Reuben Bain from Miami of Florida, Spencer Fanoe of Utah, Francis Mauioga, Miami of Florida, Kenyon Sadiq of Oregon, and Carnell Tate of Ohio State.
Tony, because you have so many connections for so many years throughout the entire NFL, what kind of rumor mill are the Giants kind of a hot topic about? In other words, people know that they've got 5, now they have 10 thanks to the Dexter Lawrence trade. We've been sitting here trying to figure out, okay, who's going to be there and who might the Giants pick? My question to you is, are you hearing that there may be a legitimate chance the Giants would trade out of either one of those picks or maybe even the 37?
I spoke to one of my most trusted sources for a quarter century today. And what he told me, and there's connections there to Sonny Styles, and what he told me is John Harbaugh knows what he wants to do, and John's not talking to anybody. So really, it's kind of anybody's guess when it comes to the Giants, and that's the way Harbaugh wants it, because he's making the decisions, and he's not leaking anything to anybody.
All right, Tony, final one from me. No way to predict who's going to be there at 37. So I'm going to throw, like, 5 players at you. Rank them for me, most likely to still be on the board at 37 to least likely to be on the board at 37. Or if you want to list them the other way, that's fine. So here are the players I'm going to give you. If you guys want to throw in another one, let me know if I'm missing somebody obvious. I'm going to throw Denzel Boston at you. I'm going to throw Chase Besantes at you. I'm going to throw Caden McDonald at you. I'm going to throw Christian Miller at you. And you want to do Caleb Banks or Pregnone, Paul? Who do you want in the
Pregnone.
Last one? And let's go Emmanuel Pregnone. Those 5. Who are the guys most and least likely to be on the board when the Giants select at 37?
I think Miller is the only guy that is guaranteed to be there. I think there's, as I wrote it at Essential Sports last week, we're talking as many 10 offensive linemen in the first round, which means if Pregnone isn't a first-round pick, he's probably going to be off the board. The first couple of selections of round 2, Besantes is going to be long gone. Besantes, if they're talking about Pittsburgh, they're talking about no later than Houston. The receiver from Washington, Denzel Boston, I know a guy you like. He could go as early as to the Jets at 16. He'll be long gone by the time the end of the first round's gone. But again, that goes into the fact that it's not really a strong class in round 1. So a lot of these guys that you project, you know, potentially at the top of round 2 will be long gone. Based on that list, the only guy I think would be available is Christian Miller.
Tony, we chatted about Mansoor Delane in hour number 1. What your take in terms of, you know, the comp, what you think he's going to be in the NFL, and would you think he'd be a good fit in what the Giants are going to be doing defensively here in 26?
You know, I think Harbaugh wants a bigger sort of cornerback. I like Mansoor Delane. As John and I have talked about at length on our show, you can play him in man coverage. You can play him in press. You can play him backed off the line of scrimmage. You can use him in zone. He's a guy that I thought unjustifiably got the rap that, you know, he wasn't fast enough. He then goes and runs 4.38 at his pro day. He's a bit like Quinnen Mitchell, although he's much more polished than Quinnen Mitchell, and he's got higher upside than Quinnen Mitchell. I think, you know, is he worth the 5th pick of the draft? Yes, because he's NFL ready, and you can use him in a variety of schemes. I just don't know that he's got the length that John Harbaugh likes in his cornerbacks.
Tony, we are of the consensus opinion that the four spots that need the most fortification on the Giants are interior offensive line, defensive tackle, wide receiver, and cornerback. Okay, so they've got three picks in the first two rounds, and they don't have a third because of the trade last year to get Jackson Dart. So they can't fill all four of those spots, right? Until they get to the fourth round, now they've got to try to make a pick. Of those four positions, which position is most likely to give them a guy who can compete as a rookie in the fourth round at one of those four spots?
Good one.
It could be guard, depending on what happens with Jalen Farmer of Kentucky. He's a third, fourth-round pick. That's something to consider. If you're looking at corner, and I know you asked for one specific spot, but I'm just going to go through a couple of different guys here. Julian Neal, the bigger corner from Arkansas, is a fourth-round prospect. 6'1.5", 203. He fits that mold that John Harbaugh likes. You talk about guard center, Ryan Parker of Duke, who was a right tackle at Duke, relatively athletic guy, still learning the position, but has an upside. If you want a stronger punch-in-the-mouth type of offensive lineman, Billy Shrouth of Notre Dame, more of a power gap blocker, but really fits that Harbaugh type of system and the type of offensive lineman he likes. So looking at it right now, I think your best bet would be on the interior of the offensive line. When you're talking about the fourth round, but there'll still be some cornerbacks there. Julian Neal, Will Lee of Texas A&M, guy's got terrific size, got terrific upside. He's had some injury issues, had some inconsistency, but if coached correctly, I think he's a guy that can start as a nickel and eventually develop into a starter at outside corner.
Tony, would you be surprised if the Giants selected Jeremiah Love with the fifth overall pick?
I would, because of the trade, and the reason I say that is I think they can get a really good defensive player at 5 and then come back at 10 and fill a need on offense, specifically at receiver. If that trade wasn't made, I probably wouldn't be, but I think the trade gives them flexibility to get really good players that fill holes on both sides of the line of scrimmage. I don't know that they would go offense. With those two picks, and I don't know that a guy like Mansoor Delaney or even Caleb Downs, even though we went through the top 10, is going to be available to them at 10.
Tony, last one for me. We jump ahead 5-6 years,
yeah,
right? Who do you think the better pro is, Caleb Downs or Sonny Styles?
Good question. Obviously, it depends on schemes and things. I like Caleb Downs. I like Caleb Downs because people say he's a safety, but he's not an ordinary safety. He's a guy, you can play him in a 2-deep, you can play him as a free safety, you can play him over the slot receiver. He's got a great head on his shoulders. I think he's more instinctive than Sonny Styles. I think the ability to cover more range basically will make it easier for the players in front of him on defense. I've always been a Caleb Downs guy. He's the number 3 guy on my board, while Sonny Styles is the number 5 guy on my board. So I'll stay true to my board and say Caleb Downs.
Tony, good stuff. Besides draft season, which fans should, of course, check out on the Giants app, Giants YouTube channel, Giants.com, or your favorite podcast platform, subscribe. What else do you have coming out on Essentially Sports in the next couple of days that people should keep an eye on?
We'll have the big board final up within the next couple of days. There'll be more than 460 scouting reports. So if you're interested not only in the guys at the Giants draft in rounds 1 or round 7, but the priority free agents, you'll be able to get information on them. I'll have a mock draft up by Thursday. I got to grind through that. And we're doing actually live stream shows Thursday and Friday before John and I do our podcast. So that should be a lot of fun, a lot of work as well.
Tony, good stuff, my friend. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Tony,
you're a maniac.
Thanks, Tony.
And that's why we love you.
Look at that.
That Tony Pauline interview is brought to you by Windorama. Save up to 40% during their winter warm-up sale. Visit Windorama.com. Anything surprise you based on what Tony said to you right there?
No, listen, I think, and Paul was smiling ear to ear when he said Caleb Downs, number three on his board, and he would take him, and he thinks he's going to be the better pro than Sonny Styles.
Bailey to the Jets seemed to surprise you.
Bailey to the Jets. Yeah, because you get the stuff that that I was listening to, hearing, reading, everything, that, and all information is out there now, is that it was going to be Arvell Reese with the second overall pick. But Tony's got great sources, and he seems to be leaning Bailey. It'll be interesting to see, because that's where the draft really starts. You know, Mendoza's going to go one overall,
yeah.
And then what's the trickle-down effect? And then potentially, like, if you're sitting there, and you're the Giants, and the Jets do go Bailey, right, and it plays out the way that Tony Pauline mentioned, and you're sitting there, and you're the Giants, and all of a sudden Arvell Reese is sitting there with the fifth overall pick?
All day long. Give me him.
Let me ask you this.
You've got to.
And put him at off ball line.
You've
backer.
Got to.
Yeah. What would the Cowboys have to offer you to move off that pick?
I haven't even thought of that.
But think about that.
Because
Tony mentioned that the Cowboys want two linebackers. He's either Styles or Arvell Reese.
Mm-hmm.
If Styles goes four, Reese is sitting there five, and you're the Giants, and all of a sudden the Cowboys give you a call, what would it take? Or you're just saying, I'm drafting the player. There's nothing the Cowboys can offer.
No, I mean, realistically, it's not nothing. Speaking. I mean, if they offered me, I'm going to try to keep this realistic, okay? I'm not going to ask for like 3 ones because that's stupid. If they gave me 12 and 20 this year and then a day two pick next year, that would probably get it done. But I would... I would not be like you're asking me to make a trade I don't want to make. So I would much rather just draft the player.
It's easy to say just draft the player.
I would just draft the player.
I would agree.
If you have conviction, Moose, just take the guy.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you.
If the Cowboys want to guarantee
I'm the guy
me,
Jeremiah Love.
if the Cowboys will guarantee me and sign a contract that says they will forfeit both games to the Giants for each of the next 10 years, we can make the trade. I'm good with that.
I'd say that's slightly unrealistic.
Well, I'm looking to barter it here.
All right.
You move back, but play to John's point. You move back, and then all of a sudden you go from five, then you have 10, 12, 20, and you have a second day pick next year. That's a big hole.
It is a huge hole, but you also might walk out of this draft without any of your top four or five players.
And that would be very painful.
Yes.
Like if you don't walk away with Downs or Styles, from our perspective, or Jeremiah Love, if you want to throw him in the mix too.
Yeah.
Now, look, if you could still... Now, again, if I get Biff to tell me that you can still draft Caleb Downs at 10, then, honestly...
You would do the deal.
I'd do it. If you promise me I'm getting Caleb Downs at 10, I'd probably just do it for 12 and 20.
Except that everybody's Pinocchio these days, and they're not telling you the truth.
No, correct. No, but seriously, like, if you would guarantee me that I'm getting Downs
that
at 10...
You could get Downs at 10, you would make that move.
I would
move off of Arvell Reese.
I would trade 5 for 12 and 20. I think I would, yes.
Okay, now I want to answer your question to Moose, and that is when he said Christian Miller was the only one of that group that might
that
be available
at
37, that one knocked my socks off. Now, yes. I happen to really like Christian Miller a lot.
The fact that he thought both guards would be gone was surprising.
Boston was going to go 16th overall the Jets.
Yeah, both of the guards in the late first round.
Yeah.
Whoa!
Well, we're out of time with Tony. I was going to ask him what he thought that late first round run was going to be, but then he kind of already answered it, right?
He sure did.
It's going to be offensive line, in his opinion, so I guess that's where we're going.
You hit upon that before, earlier in hour number one, where you said it begins basically at 15, and there's going to be a big-time run from that point forward, or that point downward in the first round of the NFL draft of offense.
Yeah, I have to double-check who's actually picking in that range, but it'll be somewhere in that range where the first team is that really, I think, has a big need. All right, let's take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll take more of your calls. We'll do a little fact or fiction. You'll get our draft predictions as well. We return right here on the Giants Draft Preview Special presented by Moody's. We'll be right back. We're back here on the New York Giants Draft Preview Special presented by Moody's. Schmelk, Melusis, Dottino, your calls at 888-808-1019. Richie in Queens has been very patient with us. Richie, we appreciate it, man. How are you, pal?
You know, I'm always patient with you guys. You know, first of all, Moose, I think I'm calling a Lugauer. About the Mets, and I get you guys talking draft, man.
We love Lugi, but
that's it. Yeah. He's coming your way in about 25 minutes.
Well, I don't know if I can deal with him and back to back. You know, I make one phone call, and my wife says I make too many calls as it is at this point. So,
well, honestly, you know, the way things are going, Richie, you don't really want to talk about the Mets, do you? I mean, it isn't exactly
it's pretty. Yeah, absolutely. You know, great stuff on the draft, guys. It confused, because I really, when I was talking to Paulie, I felt that Bailey was the best linebacker out of the guy, out of the Reese, Bailey, and Styles. I thought he'd be a better fit. I think he'd be going too. And you know, as far as us and Moose, we talked about it Saturday. When Lawrence came out, Paul and John, when it came out that it got public, I really felt that he was gone. I said that from day one. I got a little grief about it now. How you say that? Everybody does it. My feeling was, hey, this team is going to go in the right direction. You're getting a Hall of Fame coach in here. You want to go, and you know, things have been bad, obviously, for the last 5 years. And for him, if that was a priority for the Harbaugh, I think they would have settled that right away. And Moose, you're right. It's a big gap to lose him. I mean, they were terrible. And John, we spoke about it all year, and Paul, how bad they were defensively, you know, against the run. So what do you do now? Who do you get as a tackle? Is it going to be a Banks? Is it going to be somebody that you're going to take a shot at? You know, does it change the format? I still think that, you know, a linebacker is the way to go at this point. And I do like Tyson. And you know what's funny, guys? I know he had the injury. That was 4 years ago. I think that was a freak thing, the collarbone. I just don't like the hamstrings. Hamstrings can be something that stays.
No, Richie, I'm with you. Honestly, like I know the knee injury is more serious, but that was in 2022. To your point, the collarbone was 2 years ago. Hamstrings are something that like you can't see on an MRI, right? You just don't know when they're going to be right. So I happen to agree. That's the injury for Tyson that actually scares me the most, because it's hard to see whether or not it's actually good or not.
You know, for any Giants fan who remembers Thomas Lewis, knows how hamstrings habitually destroyed his career.
Indiana.
Something that you think, when you hear a knee injury and you hear a collarbone and then hamstring, you would think, you know, the least you can deal with the hamstring. You know, you mentioned Jaden McDonald. I don't know if he'd be there at 37. I don't think he would be.
It doesn't sound like
you know, I think, and I also like Miller. I know they're not great pass rushers per se, but you're going to need somebody, John, defensively, just to clog up, because we've got enough pass rushers. If Carter comes up, and obviously Banks, and if Thibodeau does his job, I mean, you know, and put pressure, make our secondary better, yeah, we'd like to get somebody. And just to end it, Downs could be a generational guy. Is he going to be a guy, you know, to draft a safety top 10? But Hubble's funny when it comes to defense, and I know that's his first priority. So
Richie,
I'm really curious about this draft, guys. Always a pleasure.
It'll be fun. Thanks, Richie.
Rich. Thanks a lot for the call. Listen, Downs instinctually is just off the charts.
Well, he's so
Whether
smart.
It be at Alabama, Ohio State, Saban's been on point talking about his football IQ, Paul. When you look at what Caleb Downs can do, you can use him in a variety of different ways. I mean, when you look at, and we've spent a little bit of time tonight talking about Jeremiah Love being an offensive weapon, Caleb Downs is a true defensive weapon that a lot of defensive coordinators in the National Football League would love to work with.
See, I don't think there's any question the Giants have taken a hit at the defensive tackle spot with the trade of Dexter Lawrence.
No question.
No matter what they do to try to patch that hole, it won't be perfect. It will not. We know that.
And it's not going to be one guy either.
No.
Right.
But the combination of potential free agents out there, like a Shelby Harris, like a DJ Reader, like a Calais Campbell, the combination of those guys, somebody out there may wind up coming here with the $13.5 million that the Giants just saved on the cap. Plus, they can draft somebody, and we've talked about guys maybe at 37. You add potentially either a Styles or a Downs to that defense, and now all of a sudden, with a new defensive coordinator, and let's not forget that, the defensive coordinator may, by the end of the season, wind up being the biggest acquisition the Giants defense has.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay? So they could be a better defense, even though they may not be as good at defensive tackle.
All right,
they could be a better defense.
Let's play some Fact or Fiction, brought to you by Windorama. Save up to 40% during their winter warm-up sale. Visit Windorama.com. All right, guys, we're going to do one question today, because I want two more calls I want to get to. We keep it simple. Fact or Fiction, Mark Melosis and Paul Dottino.
Yes.
Two out of the Giants, I'll make it tougher. Three out of the Giants' first four picks in this draft will be on the defensive side of the ball. Fact or fiction?
I will say fiction. I think it's 50-50.
You think it's 2-2?
I think it's 2 offense, 2 defense.
Pull it out.
I will say fiction as well. I think 2-2 is a really good bet.
Okay. There you go.
Especially after Tony just said he thought you could get interior offensive line during the fourth round. He did make that point.
Which is
he also had a couple of corners, too, yeah. But he was specifically interested in the interior offensive line.
So you're saying defensive tackle, either Styles or Downs. Those are your two defensive guys.
Right.
Offensive line, wide receiver.
Yeah.
So you're comfortable a cornerback with what we got right now.
I'm not thrilled about it, but I also think that there's potentially a couple of dark horses that might help just a little bit. And we'll talk about that during Big Blue Kickoff Live this week.
Which, by the way, is live every day on Giants.com and the Giants app at 12:30. But the Tino and Melusis will be on done tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow, 12:30. Looking forward to that. I think it's how you split it. I think in terms of where you decide to go, which we've talked about. And, you know, and that's why I think the question that Paul had to Tony was great in terms of which of those areas of need are you comfortable that you could address in that fourth round, right? And mm-hmm. so that's where those conversations need to be had, because no matter what you say, and Richie called up about Dexter Lawrence, here's the deal. I mean, everyone's excited about having the 10th overall pick. The player out of the building is going to be difficult, if not individually, to replicate when he was right. 2 years ago, Dexter Lawrence was one of the best interior defensive linemen in the National Football League with 9.5 sacks, coming off a really bad year for a myriad of different reasons, right? But there was an excitement level in the building, and now obviously he's now a Cincinnati Bengal. So how exactly do you replicate it? And you've got money to play with to where, you know, you can address it with a veteran free agent that's sitting out there, or maybe two veteran free agents that are sitting out there after the draft comes to an end. And when do you feel the need that you need to address that position with a young prospect in this NFL draft?
That's Fact or Fiction, brought to you by Windorama. Save up to 40% during their winter warm-up sale. Visit Windorama.com. And find out more today. All right, guys, let's go back to the calls and say what's up to Steve in Manhattan. Steve, what's going on?
All right, gentlemen, Giants 5-10, love and a wide receiver or offensive lineman. Now let's look at sleepers late in the draft, offensive lineman. What about Notre Dame in Indiana? Their offensive lines were high-powered. You can find an offensive lineman too late in the game. High-powered offenses keep the Giant defense off the field, and Harbaugh's got defensive players up his sleeve, believe me.
Well, Steve, thanks a lot for the call. Who's the Indiana center?
Coogan?
Yeah, Coogan.
Well, actually, he was at Notre Dame before he went
was
to Indiana.
Was at Notre Dame,
yes.
Right? And was a big-time player for the Indiana mm-hmm. Hoosiers. He's a guy to keep an eye out late. I would be surprised if the Giants went Love and then wide receiver with 5-10.
The thing that would surprise me the most is if 5-10 were both offensive players.
Totally agree, John. Totally agree. That's not going to happen.
Much more likely it's two defensive players than two mm-hmm. offensive players.
Mm-hmm.
I think most likely is 1-1, but I think more likely two defensive than two offensive.
No doubt. Here's my question to you. If they end up with Styles and Downs with 5-10,
mm-hmm.
how many miles will you walk on Friday?
20.
No, he must have it wrong. He wouldn't walk any miles. Do you know why he wouldn't walk any miles?
I'll be flying.
He will be floating through northern New Jersey and Bergen County. They will have helicopters
Mark
out.
Will be racing to a ball.
Oh,
be like,
man. Trying to identify the UFO.
Money. There's no doubt about it.
But you know what, though, Moose? In all honesty, I don't think that's realistically possible.
No, I don't think it's realistic either.
It's a great thing to dream about, though. It really is.
I'll put the odds at 20%. I think there's a 1 in 5 chance that that Downs will be there at 10.
But there's more of a chance.
20% is not bad.
But you think there's more of a chance they go two defense instead of two offense?
Absolutely.
Has to be.
Yeah.
Has to be. I mean, look at everything that John Harbaugh has said, and justifiably so, when the defense needed work. And now you traded Dexter Lawrence away. How could you not prioritize impact on defense?
I would agree, especially with the fact that sitting there with the 5th overall pick, if it's not Love, it's no. You're not drafting an offensive lineman 5th overall.
I mean, Maui Noah would be the only guy I would at least have a conversation about there. Yeah. For me personally.
I agree. If you really believe, and we had this conversation on Big Blue Kickoff.
Yeah.
If you think that one of those linemen, whether it's Maui Noah or one of the other guys, if you think one of those guys can be a Quentin Nelson type, you can justify taking him at 5.
I asked both of you guys this question on Big Blue Kickoff. I'm going to ask you again.
Yeah.
If I tell you today that CeCe Maui Noah has Chris Knee's career as your starting right guard.
I already told you I would
and
do
I believe, I think it was, what, 4 Pro Bowls and 1 All-Pro for Snee
yeah.
over the course of his career? Would you be happy with him as your fifth overall pick?
I'd want a little bit better.
30th player in Giants history. 30th best player.
Yeah, unbelievable player. I'm not knocking. But I'm sitting there. Then I'm passing, conceivably, who am I passing on with the fifth overall pick?
Caleb Styles or Downs, one of the other.
Styles or Downs, one of those two guys.
Or, I guess, in theory, Reese could be there, too. But
I'd probably want to address offensive line.
Moose wants it home runs. That's why he's a no.
Yeah.
Paul's good with the double, so he thinks he's okay with that.
Yeah, see, the reason is...
Snead had a great career.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Fantastic career.
Now, I know this is a little warped.
Yeah.
But Tom Telesco, the former Raiders, the former Raiders GM, said on Sirius XM NFL Radio, he said the standard that guys in the league go by is that only about 45% of first-round picks in the league will be long-term starters. Believe it or not,
like
that's 50-50 how low it
shot
is.
Almost.
It really is. Yeah. It's like a 50-50 shot.
But I mean, that's first round overall.
If
you shrink it to the top 10, the number's going to go up.
I'm sure it will.
Yeah.
Now, he did not do that. He did not give that number.
Right.
But what I said, Moose, to John the other day was that I'm all about the lock. If you believe you can slam your fist down on the table and say, I've got a 10-year starter and a guy who's going to be a 3- or 4-time All-Star, I'm taking it. Look, do you know what Evan Neal's done in his career? What Kayvon Thibodeau's done? Who, by the way, I think is a really good player. But
starter.
Neither one of those guys are the impact guys that should have been taken at 5 and 7.
Right. No doubt.
You're going to give me an impact guy at 5? I'm taking him.
Fair enough. All right. We have one more caller, then we're going to get to our predictions here before we wrap things up. Charlie in Portland, Maine. Hi, Charlie. How are you?
Hey, John. Hey, Paul.
Hello.
Hey, Mark.
What's up, Charlie?
You haven't been baptized yet until you get my call.
You haven't spoken to Charlie yet?
I have not.
Oh, no. We're going to let you handle this call. Paul, step away from the mic.
There's a baptism.
You got it.
Moose, peace be with you.
Also with you.
Well, I'm just saying. Look, I'm looking at a picture right now that somebody sent me, and the guy is Will Beatty. And that's what we need. You need a Will Beatty, and you guys keep saying we don't have a right guard. We don't have a left guard. Bunyan's not the answer. J.M. Smith, center.
He is fine as a 1-year starter, Charlie. Runyon is fine as a 1-year starter. He's fine.
Bunyan is not. He can't run block. PFF grades are horrible on him and also on J.M. Smith. And so we need 3 guys in the interior. Now that we've gotten rid of Dak, all-pro guy, now we got a hole deeper and wider than the Mariana Trench. We couldn't stop the run with him, but when he was on the field, our numbers were 1,000 times better than when he was off the field.
That is
so
true.
What we've done, we've made our team worse. Right at this moment, our team is worse than it was a day ago. So,
well,
as the draft goes...
I mean, Charlie, the other way to look at it is, there's no doubting the talent of the player, what Dexter Lawrence is and the caliber of player. He didn't want to be here. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I know that.
So
I'm glad he left.
More that you can do. You reached an impasse. He didn't want to be here. Giants end up with the 10th overall pick. There was no moving forward with Dexter Lawrence.
No. But that was caused 2 years ago, a year ago. That the brink happened a long time ago.
Charlie, you're not renegotiating a guy's contract 1 year into a 4-year extension. That is an unrealistic
ask. I'm glad Dex is gone. He's going to get a chip. Going to be a trifecta for Shane, Leo, Love, and Barkley. And then it'll be him. So,
Charlie, we got to go, man. We got to go.
That was a baptism.
Sorry, Charlie.
All right.
Yeah. Sorry, Charlie. I didn't mean to cut you off, but we actually have to get one more thing in before we go here.
Yeah.
All right, so here we go. Draft predictions. Brought to you by our local Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac is official luxury vehicle. The Giants. Give me predictions for Giants. I'll just get first 3 picks. So 5, 10, 37, real quick.
5, 10, 37. Fifth overall, I'll say they take Sonny Styles. 10th overall, I think they're going to take Jordan Tyson. And then 37th overall, Besantis.
Okay, I like
Towns,
that.
Tate, Hunter.
Towns, Tate, Hunter. Interesting. All right, right now I have a bad feeling that Sonny Styles is not going to be there at 5.
Okay,
if he is, I predict him. I just don't think he's going to make it. And with him not being there, I'll go Downs at 5, just to be a little different from you two guys.
Okay,
I'll go Downs at 5. At 10, I'm going to go Fano.
Okay,
and then at 37, give me Christian Miller.
Oh, there you go. Pauline said he'd be there.
I don't think he's going to be there, but Tony says he will. So that'd be great. I think he's gone.
And by the way, I have no intel on Fannell. That is just me throwing a dart at the wall. I have no idea.
No, but this is what makes the draft great. And we're inching closer and closer to the first round Thursday night. Can't wait.
Guys, thanks for being with us today on our Giants Draft Preview Special presented by Moody's. Stay tuned to all of our great content. Big Blue Kickoff Live, Giants Huddle Podcast, Giants.com, Giants YouTube channel, Giant app. Check it all out. Loogie is coming up next. Knicks, letting your lead slip away. Lead by 3. Loogie coming up next. We'll talk to you later.